Well, we are continuing our series in Paradigm Shift, and this morning it's just great to have Jerry, one of our members, and on the preaching team bring the word to you. So let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for Jerry's heart and love of you. Thank you for his love of the word, which you enrich in his mind and in his heart, and then he speaks it into us. Let our hearts be open to the things that you're saying to us, Father in heaven. Thank you for this day that we're celebrating Father's Day and remembering you're the ultimate Father, and you sent your own Son to us as a message of love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Good morning. If you would turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. That's where we will be today in what's called, in most Bibles, it's called the parable of the sower. But I've noticed that the soil is seems to be the variable and the thing that Jesus is trying to get at. So I call it the parable of the soils. And today's message I want to call, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus makes that comment quite often in the Gospels when he's done doing a teaching. And I find in the book of Revelation, as the letters are written to the seven churches in Revelation, it always ends with, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church." So we'll talk about what it means to hear and to be a hearer as we get into this parable. So let's pray. Father, open our hearts, open our understanding, open your word to us, and give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you as we dig into your word here this morning. We thank you for that in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Starting in verse 4 of chapter 8, it said, "When a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, 'A sower went out to sow a seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. Some fell in the good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And as he said these things, he called out, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, 'To you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience." It's an interesting parable. It's one of the parables Jesus said to his disciples, "If you don't get this parable, how are you going to understand any of the other parables?" So it's very important parable to try to comprehend and to hear what Jesus was trying to say in the midst of it. The parable of the soils is about hearing and understanding the message of the kingdom. Matthew called it called the word of the kingdom. And it's also about learning to actively engage and apply the teachings of Jesus in our daily living. Now, the message of the kingdom is that Jesus has died and rose again from the dead. He ascended to the place of all power and authority and is king over all, a king who forgives sins and welcomes all who turn to him and provides us all that pertains to life and godliness. The kingdom was initiated at his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and present seating at the right hand of power. Boy, that's a lot to say in one sentence. And will culminate when he comes again, bringing with him the new heavens and the new earth. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So that's the message of the kingdom, and it can be broken down at various times. Jesus emphasizes a certain aspect of the kingdom, but he's always teaching about the kingdom of God, the nature of the kingdom, how the kingdom operates, how it functions. The kingdom is a new paradigm, as we've been talking about, a paradigm change. It doesn't operate like the world operates and the systems of the world. It operates under a complete different set of principles and concepts. And Jesus has been teaching that, whether it's the Sermon on the Mount or in parables. I guess there's over 16 parables that Jesus taught. You put Luke and Matthew and Mark together, there was like a run of like 16 parables that Jesus spoke, teaching about the nature of the kingdom of God. And Luke 4:8-4 says, and he said in a parable. Now the teachings of Jesus, whether in parables or other forms, is to inform his followers of the nature of how the kingdom of God works. There's laws that govern the kingdom of God, just like there's laws that govern nature. The law of gravity, you know, try to disobey that law and see what happens. In aviation, the law of lift, you know, how those planes lift off the ground. There's a law that governs that, how the wind goes underneath the wings and how it goes over the wings just so, lifts that plane in the air. And there's all types of laws that govern nature. And so there are laws that govern the kingdom of God, not governing God, but governing his kingdom and how his kingdom works. The law of love, the law of forgiveness, the law of non-retribution, the law of mercy, kindness, and justice, as Pastor Craig talked about last week. And so there's laws that govern the kingdom of God. And again, the ways of the kingdom is a paradigm shift from the ways of the world. And so it behooves, I love that word, behoove. It behooves those of us who are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ to learn about the nature of the kingdom so that we might live it out as people and children of the kingdom of God that he's invited us into. Again, the teachings of Jesus, whether in parables or other forms, is to inform his followers of the nature of how the kingdom works. The word parable comes from a Greek word, and I'm not sure how to pronounce it, paraboli, maybe some other way. But it means a placing one thing by the side of another, comparing a parallel case cited in an illustration. A comparison or a simile. And a simile is when Jesus says something like, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. He's using the mustard seed to describe how the kingdom of God works. And so the parables are laying two things side by side, the natural and common occurrences of life. And he's using that to teach a spiritual principle. And how the nature of the kingdom and how it works. And that's what he's doing here as he's talking about the parable of the soils. He's using nature to teach a spiritual truth. Listen to this. This is a quote from a commentator that I was looking up as I was researching. You have to listen carefully to what he's saying. because you'll scratch your head and go, what? Couldn't he said that easier? But he says, at its simplest, the parable is a metaphor or simile drawn from nature or common life, arresting the hearer or striking the hearer by its vividness and strangeness, and leaving the mind in sufficient doubt about its precise application to tease it into active thought. And basically what he's saying is a parable, Jesus teaches a parable, and sometimes we scratch our head and we go, what? But it's meant then to get us to think more, to tease our minds into, there's a truth in here. There's a truth that I need to learn. There's a truth I need to understand. And so we seek the Lord for an understanding of what Jesus was trying to say. And it teases our minds, I like that term, it teases our minds into pursuing a further study and a further understanding of what Jesus was trying to teach. Because a passive mind or the casual observer really isn't going to get anything from God's word, really isn't going to get anything from the teachings of Jesus. We need to engage the teachings of Jesus with all of our heart and with all of our mind. And a parable will do that, will tease us into wanting more, wanting to learn more about that particular truth. There's three elements to this parable. There's the sower, the seed, and the soil. Actually, there's four. There's the harvest also. We'll look at the sower, the seed, and the soil. And now in this parable, the sower does his part. He's faithful to do his part. He's going out and sowing the seed. So there's no real defect in the sower, except for maybe the way he's doing it, but we'll talk about that later maybe. The seed is perfect. There's no flaw in the seed because it says the seed is the word of God. And the word of God is perfect. There's no flaw in the word of God. But where we find the flaw is in the soil. The soil is flawed and it's varied. The soil represents the various conditions of the human heart needed to allow the seed of the word of God to produce results. So the seed can always be depended on to do its work. As the sower sows the seed will do its job. And what really is needed is for our hearts to be prepared to receive that seed, that word, into our hearts. And so as we look at it, he says the seed is the word. But we can also say that the word is a seed. And it's important to understand that the word of God is a seed that's planted. All truth and lies, but we're speaking about truth, all truth comes to us in seed form. You will hear something, and perhaps it's a new thing that you're hearing, and it's a truth, and it comes as in seed form as an idea, as a beginning thought. And what we do with that thought, if we will take it and nourish it and plant it deep within our hearts, it then matures and we get a full understanding of that idea and a full bloom plant will grow, if we want to use that analogy. But all truth comes to us in seed form. Even what I'm saying today, maybe it's something new and your mind is going, okay, I hear that. Now I wonder what, you know, and you begin to pursue it and you begin to nurture it. You begin to allow it to become more than just a seed in your life. It's up to us to have good soil, a good and honest heart to nurture the seed so that that seed can produce. And of course, again, the word is a seed. The word of God will always do its job when planted in the proper soil. The word of God will always do its job when it's planted in good soil. So we're seeing here that the soil is the variable in whether something is produced and becomes full grown, and there's a harvest that's gotten from that seed. But the word will always do its job when it's planted in proper soil. Hebrews chapter 4 says the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And that's a whole nother sermon. But the point is that the word is living and active. The word of God is alive. It's a living seed that when planted in good soil is actively trying to grow and get into your heart and to change your mind and to change the way you think and to change you as a person and to become more and more as God would have you to be. But it's living. It's not, you know, just some dead thing. It's living and it's active. In 1 Peter, it says, you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. So the very fact that we're born again is because we heard a seed. The truth of the gospel came to us in seed form. And the Holy Spirit took that and helped us get it into our hearts. And we believed on it, and we were saved. We were forgiven. We embraced the things of the Lord. But it was a seed implanted. And it says that the seed is imperishable. The word of God will never become corrupt. The word of God will never change. The word of God is always going to be the word of God. Amen. It can be depended on. It can be trusted in. It's imperishable. And we've been born again. And we'll see that it also grows us into maturity, grows us into being full-fledged disciples of the Lord, loving the Lord, providing provisions for us in the Lord. All these things, the seed will do a work in us as we allow it to be planted in our hearts. James 1:21 says, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. And that tells me is prepare your heart. Plow it up. Get rid of these things that are resident within your heart. Not you guys, you're all saints. None of this applies to you. But, you know, this rampant filthiness and wickedness and other things in our heart, plow our hearts up and make them ready to receive with weakness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. The word implanted means to establish or fix an idea in a person's mind and heart. Receive with meekness and fix and establish the truth of God's word in your heart, and it will save your souls. The word save is sozo. It means to heal, to make whole, to deliver, to set free, to forgive, and just to be made whole. The word shalom has this concept of being whole, spirit, soul, and body, being at peace with the Lord and being in relationship with the Lord. Sozo will make you whole, will deliver you, will set you free. And that happens as we implant, establish, fix the word of God into our minds and our hearts. Amen. One of the things that the word will produce in our hearts is faith. The word of God will produce faith in our hearts to enable us to appropriate God's provisions for our lives. Romans 10:17 simply says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Faith is something that we don't have to work up. We don't have to try to muster up. We don't have to grit our teeth and just, I'm going to believe. Faith comes as a product of hearing the word of God, as a product of that seed that was planted. Regardless of what it is, if it's faith for a certain situation or a certain circumstance in your life, you find what God's word says on it, and you plant that word in your heart, and you just keep nurturing that word and nurturing that word, and faith comes. It's nothing you have to work for. It just comes because the word is being planted in your heart. I know none of this stuff is new to us, but it was the next thing in the Gospel of Luke, so we had to preach on it. But we really need to understand that, you know, so much has been made up of faith over the years. And people, you know, they're always wrestling with that concept. Oh, I just don't have enough faith. I just don't have faith. I need more faith. And, you know, we pray for God to give us more faith. And none of that is necessarily wrong in and of itself to seek the Lord. But it says right here that faith comes from hearing. And hearing through the word of Christ. And that word hearing means to listen to heed, to obey. It's not just we have ears to hear, we hear the words, but are we listening to the words? Are we listening to where we're taking that idea, that seed thought that came to our mind, and are we putting it down into our hearts? And as we do that, faith will rise automatically. Somebody talked about effortless change, that change in Christianity is an effortless proposition. And I thought, you know, this guy's crazy. But the more I thought about it, the effort that we need to be about is disciplining ourselves to put the word of God into our hearts. Because the word of God will produce. It'll produce holiness. It'll produce justice. It'll produce love. It'll produce whatever is lacking in your life that you're believing God for. It'll produce that. The word will produce it. And so the effort that we need to make is not to grit our teeth again and just by a determination and an act of our will, we're going to be a better person. And we need the word of God and the Holy Spirit to be at work to make us that person that we desire to be. And as we place that word, the Spirit of God just takes it and brings understanding to it, and it sinks into our hearts, and it changes you. I've been praying, and I tell you this all the time, and I've just been using the Lord's Prayer a lot for a guide, and also the I'll love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, and I'll love my neighbor as myself. And I will treat others as I would have them treat me. And I pray that every day. And it's gotten into me so much that I find myself in situations that I normally would have let my, you know, fight get the best of me. I've been finding that I'm more and more willing to, I'm going to treat this person as I would have them treat me, and disarm, you know, the situation by doing that. I wasn't always like that, but I find that as I put that word into my heart, it has changed that aspect of my life. And And it's effortless. It's the first thing that comes to mind. I'm going to treat others as I would have them treat me. And that will happen in any area of your life. You want to be more holy, focus on scriptures that tell you what Jesus has done for you and made you holy and all of these things. And before long, you're walking on, you know, just a couple feet off the ground. You're so holy. You just walk over water. You're holy. But it works in every area of our life. The word accomplishes its work in the human heart if received and understood in a good heart. Whether it's a promise to lay hold of or a truth that replaces the lies we have about God, ourselves, or our relationship to him. So that's the seed. The seed is the word of God. The word of God is a seed. Now the soil is the heart's capacity to hear and understand the word. The soil is our hearts, and it's the capacity of our hearts to hear and understand the word that is being sown. It says there were four different types of soil that Jesus spoke about. He spoke about the path, the rocky soil, the soil amongst the thorns, and the good soil. And each one of these represent the condition of the human heart. And each one of us can have each one of the conditions at various times in our life or for various issues in our life. But we have the path. Now the path ran alongside or across the field, and because it was beaten down by people constantly walking on it, the soil got hardened. I mean, sometimes it gets as hard as cement. It just becomes, you know, hardened by the use of people traveling on it and carts driving over it and horses traveling on it and so forth. But the hardened soil, because the seed cannot gain entrance into the soil, because of the soil's hardness, that seed just lays bare and on the surface of the ground where it's vulnerable to being trampled on and picked up by the birds. And Jesus likens this to Satan stealing the word. And he doesn't necessarily say because of hardness of heart, but in comparison with this path, there are times when our hearts are hardened towards the word of God. Maybe a specific word, an area of our life that we're unwilling to change, an area of our life that we're unwilling to listen to God, and we harden ourselves towards it. We don't want to hear it. The preacher is preaching and gets on a specific topic, and I don't want to hear that. And so the soil is hardened, and Satan comes and steals that word immediately. But we can unharden our soil. But nonetheless, that's what this type of soil was. The other soil was rocky soil. And on rocky soil, sometimes there was rocks, and there'd be soil that would somehow be in the crevices of the rocks, and perhaps the birds of the air would drop seed into this soil. But the seed could not develop roots. It couldn't go down very far because the soil was very shallow. And so the root system couldn't go down very far. And so it was vulnerable to the sun that beats on it, plus the plant that grew up from it. There was some growth in the plant. They say that if the roots don't have very far to get into the ground, that the plant will spring up fast. It'll spring up fast because it has no place else to go. When it's in good soil, the roots, it takes time for them to go down and down and down. And sometimes I've read that the root system can be almost taller than the plant that comes up out of the ground. So this shallow ground wasn't able to develop any roots. And because of that, when when bad weather or the heat of the sun or whatever, the plant withered. It didn't have deep roots. And so this speaks to me of people who have no depth of heart. Or the other term would be shallow. A shallow person. And that doesn't sound very nice. They don't allow anything to get rooted into their life and into their heart. Kind of person that's always changing from one thing to the next. They hear something, they hear an idea, and they kind of get all excited about the idea. But then when a little opposition comes along, they forsake that idea and they go on to the next thing. And this is kind of what Jesus is talking about. There's no depth of heart to allow the seed of God's word to take root very far. And so when persecution and trials come along because of the word, they fall away. And again, there can be times where, an aspect of God's word we just don't necessarily want to hear. It's a rocky place in our hearts. But again, any of these types of soils we can correct. It's not predestined that you would have a hardened heart or predestined that you would have rocky soil. But it's something that you can control. And by the help of the Holy Spirit, by the help of God, you can soften your hearts and you can make your hearts good soil for the word of God to come. The next soil is thorny soil. This says that the word is choked out by other things that compete for the loyalty of the heart. It's choked by cares, riches, pleasures of life, love of the world. Now, thorns are a very hardy breed of plant. When they're planted or they fall into the soil, their roots run deep. Their roots take up all the nourishment and all the moisture. You plant a garden, if there's thorns there, they're going to rob your plant, that flower, that crop, that corn, that wheat. They're going to rob the nutrients and the moisture needed for that harvest to grow. And they'll choke that plant out. That plant will grow a little bit, maybe bear a little fruit, but very little fruit. But because of the cares of the world and the riches and the pleasures of life, chokes out the root system of that word of God. And this is a challenging concept for us to get a hold of, I think, especially in the West. It's so easy to have the cares of this life. It's so easy to pursue riches. It's so easy to be enamored by the pleasures of life. Now, there's not necessarily anything wrong in and of themselves, but if they take the place of your loyalty to God's word, then you're in trouble. We have to be loyal to that seed. We have to be loyal to that truth. We have to be loyal to that gospel. We have to be loyal to it and nurture it and not allow the cares of this life, the riches of the world, and the pleasures of life to choke out that word. We have to find and strike a balance in there somehow, because we do live in a very prosperous country. We do live in a country that we have a lot of pleasures that's available to us. And a lot of riches that people can make if they give them their lives to it. And so this is a difficult one. And it's one that we need to be careful of. Our commitment to God's word, our commitment to the gospel, our commitment to the Lord, our loyalty to that needs to be the priority in our life. And then everything else comes along with it. So it's a challenge for us all the time. We're not to condemn ourselves about it. We just need to be aware of it. Jesus taught this and said, this is going to be an issue for us. This is going to be an issue. As I plant the seed of God's word of his kingdom, there's going to come along these things in life that will try to steal our loyalty, compete for our loyalty to the Word of God and the loyalty of our heart. Now, you all look kind of bummed out and saddened by everything. But this parable is really quite profound, I believe. And it's really quite challenging as we look at it. But then we get to the good soil, which all of us can have. All of us can make our soil good. And that is soil that, having a good heart, holds on tight until the fruit matures. We're willing to hold on tight. We're willing to nurture that seed. We're willing to give it priority in our life. We don't let it go when adversity comes, opposition comes. We hold on tight to that word as we have heard it. We need to hold on to the seed of God's word and give it time to grow to maturity in our hearts and produce a crop. It's a seed takes time to become what it will be when it's fully grown. Now, you take a farmer who plants a harvest or plants his seed in the ground, and he expects the next day to go out and have a harvest. We're thinking that guy's probably in the wrong line of work. So the seed takes time for a harvest to come. And this is one of the principles of God's word. We need to hold on to the seed of God's word, give it time to grow to maturity in our hearts, and it will produce a harvest. A seed takes time to become what it will be when fully grown. Again, this is how the kingdom works: seed, time, and harvest. And for most of us, it's seed, time, harvest. But it says about holding on to the word with patience. Holding on to the word of God with patience is what the good heart does. Bear fruit with patience. So we know that the word of God is perfect. The word of God will always do its work. The word of God is true. The word of God, there's no flaw in the word of God. So as it's planted in our hearts, the word of the kingdom, the truth that we've embraced from the word of God, we just need to give it time. And during that time, we nurture it, we water it, we feed it, we meditate on it. Joshua said, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written. For then you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success." And I think we've all heard the illustration of meditation being like a cow chewing its cud, where it swallows it and then it spits it back up again and chews it some more. Swallows it and then spits it back up and chews it some more. You know, just chewing on that cud until it's ready to be digested completely. And meditating on the word, we're just nourishing it, we're chewing it. We're thinking on it. We're praying over it. We're just not letting it go. We are holding on to it tight. Mark's gospel said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of a mustard seed." So he's saying the kingdom of God is like the grain of a mustard seed, which when sown in the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it's sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so the birds of the air can make nests in it. So again, this is a principle of the kingdom of God: seed, time, harvest. You'll be changed as you plant that seed in your life, but that change may take time for it to develop as that seed develops. Jesus says, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. And that second word hear means to hearken, to listen to heed, to obey, to understand. He who has an ear, let him understand. Let him heed that word and put it into action and obey it. It means to take in. He who has an ear to hear, let him understand. So we need to become hearers of God's word. He who has an ear, and I think all of us in here have an ear, at least one, right? He who has an ear, let him understand. As you listen to the word of God, as you listen to it preached, as you listen to it in your devotions when you're reading the scriptures, however you get that word of God in you, it's planting seed. Not only just hear it, but listen to it and allow it to change your life. The word has to become more than just information. It must become revelation. The word has to become more than just information that we get. It has to become revelation. And that's what gets down into our hearts. Revelation just simply means an uncovering or a disclosure. Now, the word is uncovered to you and it's disclosed to you. You understand it. It's an aha moment where you've heard the truth and you're not quite getting it. And all of a sudden, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you go, oh, aha, I see what it means. I see what it is. And that's what sinks down in your heart and you hang on to it. Paul prayed that we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, having the eyes of our hearts enlightened. So pray. Pray over that word. Pray for God to give you understanding about a particular truth or a particular word that you might be hearing. Again, like Pastor Craig spoke, and it was really a good message last week. He did a great job on mercy, justice, and kindness, and the issues that we face today. And it can't just be something that we heard. It has to be something that we meditate on and get down into our hearts so that it produces fruit. It produces the change that's needed to occur in our life. I'm almost done here. And all the people applauded. Said amen. Lastly, and this is obvious, seed has to be sown if we are to expect a harvest. Seed has to be sown if we are to expect a harvest. If a farmer keeps all of his seed in the barn, but yet daily goes out to his field and expects to see a harvest, again, that guy's in the wrong line of work. You have to put the seed in the ground for it to grow and produce a harvest. And we can have Bibles all over our house. We can have them on the coffee table and on the bookshelf and all over our house. We can have it next to our bed. We can even take it in our car and drive along with it. But if we don't open that thing and get that thing in our hearts, it can't produce a harvest in us. You may pick up some things from the preaching of the word, but those ideas that are planted need to be watered as you yourself do the research and do the meditating and the thinking in the word of God. John said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. A word revealed and sown into our hearts will produce faith to embrace the provisions needed. So how is our hearing when it comes to hearing what the word is saying? Are we sowing the word into our hearts? What changes do we need to make to allow our hearts to be more open to God's word? Are we clinging to the word until the harvest comes? Lord, give us ears to hear. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. And take it and bless it and let it become more than just an idea, but let it become something that is nurtured and plopped down into some good soil so that it will produce 30, 60, and 100-fold return. I commit each and every one of us to you and to your word, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen.